Ditch the sugar and welcome the fat. That's the new message out. Public health academic Professor Grant Schofield is at the forefront of challenging the widespread fat phobia that he says has pushed us to eat a diet full of processed carb-laden food. And he says a healthy fat lifestyle is a revolution that could turn the food pyramid on its head. He's behind the new book called What the Fat? Fat's in, Sugar's out. Hi Grant, you're in our Auckland studio.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
So you're not saying all fat is good. What is a good fat?
That's a good question, because I would take quite a contrary view. In mainstream public health, the view is that there's some fats that are particularly bad for us, things we call those saturated fats, and we've particularly demonised things like butter, cheese, the high-fat dairies, animal products, those sorts of things. And I would say that was a big mistake. We went down a path where whole healthy fats, as they occur in nature, in dairy and in animals, were seen to be bad, and we should replace them with these polyunsaturated sort of manufactured vegetable oils. And that's a problem. But also the consequence of that has also been that we demonised all fat. We saw fat as being... fat, if people don't know, has twice as many calories for the same weight as either protein or carbohydrate, the other food groups. And so we sort of demonise fat. And it's an interesting thing, because this wasn't always the case. This is where public health's gone over the last 30 or 40 years. But if you go back in history, the first best-selling diet book of all time was written by an Englishman called William Banting, who identified sugar and starch were the problem, got them out of his life, and away he went. The German scientists sort of took over from there, and a fellow called Wilhelm Ebstein through the 19th century and then through into World War II. They knew that, and that was conventional wisdom, that sugar and starch were the main problems for us metabolically, maintaining a healthy weight, diabetes, vascular disease, all those things. And the winners tell the story, and the Americans in World War II came through. A fellow called Ansel Keys introduced the K ration for American GIs, which was the first time armies had been fed on carbohydrates, high carbohydrates and sugar, and that drove a whole line of research and hypotheses through the 50s, 60s and 70s. And you mentioned the food pyramid, which was really where we went in the early 80s in New Zealand, which was this idea that we need to get fat at the top of that pyramid, the thing you eat least of, and the base of that was going to be dietary carbohydrates.
And the problem is that we replaced the good fats with these really high carbohydrate and high sugar processed foods.
Absolutely, and I don't think it's a coincidence we've got this diabetes and obesity problem as a consequence. And, in many ways, if you eat what you've been told to eat by the government and health policy makers over the last 30 or 40 years, you're probably going to end up fat and sick, and that's not good enough. So, I think there's time for a shift back to what we knew.
And I mean, we do know now that a lot of this was driven by the sugar industry. You mentioned the United States, and there was all the stuff from the FDA. Yeah. I hesitate to say buying off scientists, but certainly helping scientists to come to the conclusion that sugar was fine for you and fat was really, really bad for you.
Yeah, and that played out both politically in the US and scientifically in the US, particularly with, as you say, there was some good published evidence just last year showing that exactly that happened. Harvard scientists were bought out by the sugar industry, and the low-fat revolution came around. And low-fat without sugar isn't a palatable food, so that was added, and that, with the consequences are here.
And it's astounding when you look at some of the foods that we eat a lot of, just how much sugar is in them.
Yeah, the ones that I think we'd be surprised, things like tomato sauce, which is, half sugar, and it's a liquid, so, the rest is, most of the rest is water. Barbecue sauce, 60%, and sweet chili sauce, 75%. You're pouring sugar onto your food.
So what are the things that we generally think of as bad that you think are good? Are we saying butter?
Yeah, butter, full cream milk? Butter, full cream milk, full fat dairy, associated with less obesity, less diabetes. I'd be embracing those. Animal products as they occur from whole healthy animals that were recently running around, you know, bring them on. In fact, I would say, you know, as a general guide for people eating food, I call it the human interference index. If it, you know, if it was recently growing in the ground, on a tree somewhere, or running around, you know, go ahead and eat it. That should be your first criterion. If you need a star rating, you know, which by the way I think it's a disgrace that you know we're now promoting, you know, highly processed foods like Kellogg's Nutri-Grain gets 4 stars and Sultana Brand 4.5 stars, where macadamia nuts get 2 stars. You know, if you need stars or a tick or something on your food to tell you if it's good to eat or not, then you've fundamentally made a mistake.
Mm. You can still have, obviously, though, too much butter and too much milk and those sorts of things.
Sure. You know, if you shove food down your mouth at some high rate, you're going to get fat. But the point is, when you start to actually get into a more complicated view of how calories are moderated in the body and how we maintain a healthy weight and how we stay metabolically healthy, it's really hard if you're keeping the sugar and the carbs down in your diet and eating fat to overeat. Your body, actually, the main mechanisms through the hormones insulin and leptin work just fine, and people generally stop eating when they should. The human, as in all animals, the human body and brain is really finely tuned to try not to get fat under usual conditions. And you have to go out of your way to override that system, which we do nowadays.
What about eggs? Because eggs were vilified for a very long time. You were only ever meant to eat one egg every 3 days, or someone saying, but eggs are so good for you. Why were they the bad guy?
Yeah, well, that's just a classic example of how the science goes horribly wrong. There's a couple of animal experiments with rabbits in the 1920s showing that when you fed them lots of cholesterol in their diet, they got coronary artery disease. That effect doesn't happen with humans and most other animals, actually. So eating dietary cholesterol doesn't affect your cholesterol, because your body compensates for the amount it needs by making its own if you're not eating enough, and downregulating if you do. So eggs really have nothing to do with that. Eggs, you know, are a nutrient-packed, whole, healthy food, and they're quite good value in this country. So you know, if they're raised by those eggs come from healthy chickens, bring them on. And even the Heart Foundation, you know, still going with their low-fat dogma these days, acknowledge that eggs are just fine to eat.
And part of the problem with this is so confusing for people. Mark Graham's just texted in to say the latest listener has a multi-page article on why butter is bad, so why should we believe you, Grant? We're constantly bombarded with what's good for us and what's bad for us and what we should and shouldn't eat.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. In fact, we're just drafting a letter right at this moment to that letter to that article on the listener, which in my view is poor journalism. Butter, on every evidence that you would use in public health, including some very sort of structured ones through an epidemiologist called Bradford Hill, meets no criterion for being bad for anyone and causing disease. It shouldn't be something that we're vilifying. There's far bigger problems that we face, and those are especially sugar. Especially free sugars, and then the processed carbohydrates as well.
One thing I've noticed, I've stopped eating a lot of sugar, not for my health, but well, sort of for my health, because my dentist told me to. Yep. And one thing I've noticed now, when I do eat sugar, I'm hyper. I'm so hyper for about 45 minutes, and then I massively crash for about an hour. And that can't be doing good things to my body.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just the classic, you know, overcompensation. Your blood sugar goes way up. The body knows that sugar in the blood at that level is toxic. It moves it quickly with the hormone called insulin, it overcompensates, and you end up with less energy than when you started. So, that's just the first stage of the bad effects. But I think your dentist is right. You know, sugar and fermentable carbohydrates in the mouth cause dental disease. Yeah, just remember, you know, it's only in the 1930s that a US dentist called Weston A. Price was travelling around New Zealand, went out to Mahia, to study healthy teeth, where there was no tooth decay in Māori there at the time. And he described those people there living in Mahia as amongst the most perfect physical specimens of any people on the face of this planet. No tooth decay, no metabolic disease. And, you know, less than 100 years later, the wildest optimists wouldn't describe Māori in New Zealand under those those terms.
And so not even just to lose weight, but eat a healthy diet, what, good animal fats, things that walk around naturally or come off trees?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much. That's Professor Grant Schofield from the Public Health Academic. His new book is What the Fat? Fats In and Sugars Out.